This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Moving on to our next story, though, the Pakatan Harapan government has said that they're going to lift a freeze on several controversial security laws because there is concern over the threat to national security, public order and race relations. And this is according to Communications and Multimedia Minister Gobind Singh Deo.
So the minister said that, you know, this to assure the public that the government will only use these laws in exceptional cases. After Home Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin announced last Friday that the cabinet had decided to withdraw the moratorium on POCA, the Prevention of Crime Act, Prevention of Terrorism Act, POTA, Sedition Act and SOSMA following the Sri Mahamariamman temple riot in Subang last week.
So this has understandably caused I suppose some people might feel reassured that there are laws that are there to protect our security. There are also, however, people who say that these laws are open to abuse. So human rights advocates have criticized the government's decision to use the Sedition Act 1948 as well as these anti-terrorism laws, saying that the penal code actually has sufficient provisions in order to penalize those who are involved in the recent temple fracas.
And actually, Gobind had earlier preempted these comments, saying that, you know, cabinet has taken this into consideration, but some members of cabinet feel that it's actually not enough.
My concern here, I think, is that I'm not a fan of seeing half measures. Mm-hmm. And I think that we've been seeing that a little bit with, for example, the death penalty, where it's like, okay, we're going to abolish it, followed by, but maybe not in special cases. And in this case, hey, you know, we're not going to use these laws anymore. Yeah. And so I just wish that there were more accountings for these sorts of situations. I don't think that it would have been completely out of the ordinary to assume that these laws would have been necessary for this and to come up with substitutions or to look at other alternatives before just bringing them back because it's what we know how to do.
Yeah, it also feels like it's the easiest option. But to me, I think if, let's say, these politicians, if they were still on the end, were still the opposition, I think they would definitely have come out to say, like, yo, these are the bills that we can still use. Why are you reviving or rather unfreezing these laws that we put on hold for now?
So that's the tricky thing, but we are going to get the perspective of someone who's been advocating against these controversial laws. We have on the line Lim Wei Jet, who's the Secretary General of HACAM, the National Human Rights Society, and we will be getting to Wei Jet just after these messages. Please hold. We'll get to that right after. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. This is the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. We are talking about the withdrawal of the freeze on certain controversial laws, such as the Sedition Act 1948, SOSMA. And this is in light of recent events. We're going to get the perspective now of someone who's been advocating against these controversial laws. Joining us on the line, we have Lim Wei Jet, who is the Secretary General of HACAM, the National Human Rights Society. Wei Jet, thanks for joining us. Can you remind us again why these laws we're talking about, and again, that's SOSMA, POCA, POTA, the Sedition Act, why they have no place in a democratic society? What are the most concerning elements?
Well, laws such as POTA, POCA and SOSMA, I mean, we find that there's a lot of problems when you invoke them. So number one, these are what we call preventive detention laws, which means that the authorities can detain you for an unreasonably long amount of time without trial. So they can basically keep you in jail without any evidence whatsoever that you have been suspected of committing a crime. Now, that is, of course, against the right of a person to have his liberty protected under the Constitution. The second problem is that there is no judicial oversight over these preventive detentions. So what I mean by that is that an authority can apply to the magistrate to detain a person for up to 60 days. And the magistrate does not have any discretion to allow or disallow, unlike normal criminal proceedings without POTA, POCA or SOSMA, the magistrate court has a discretion to disallow a person from being remanded for such a long time. So the judiciary acts only like a rubber stamp in these instances. The third problem that we see with POTA, POCA and SOSMA is that there is generally a board, for example, in the Prevention of Crime Act, there is a Prevention of Crime Board, which can further detain a suspected person for up to 2 years. And within these proceedings before the board, the normal rules of evidence do not apply. So the authorities can admit and extract evidence without complying to the act, without complying to procedural justice. And that is what we say is unfair. And if you have looked at how POTA, POCA and SOSMA have been used in the past, they have always been abused to prosecute and to detain dissidents of the government of the day. Very prime examples include activists like Maria Chin from Bursay at that point in time.
And what about the Sedition Act?
Yeah, the other group of laws which the minister says the moratorium has lifted is the Sedition Act and Section 233 of the Communications and Multimedia Act. Both of these acts are problematic because the definition of the offence is very widely worded. It is very arbitrary in nature and it has been abused by the previous administration, again, on dissidents of the government of the day and opposition politicians and civil society activists. So, for example, if you look at Section 233 of the Communications and Multimedia Act, it is an offence if a communication which is obscene, false, menacing, or offensive is done with the intention to annoy, abuse, threaten, or harass another person. So the government has literally so wide power to prosecute and punish literally every form of communication that is out there because it is so arbitrarily defined and worded.
So we were talking about these kind of, I suppose, U-turns and half measures earlier. Help us understand why it's so tempting for the government to turn back to these laws in the face of possible threats to public order.
Well, I guess from the perspective of the authorities, these laws are the most convenient administrative measure because you just detain people whom you suspect without any evidence and you let them languish in jail while you continue to investigate. So that is probably why they are tempted to go back to these repressive laws. But the point is, laws which are the most convenient may not be the best or the most efficient because in combating crime, we also must respect human rights, and you cannot push it aside and say that public order and national security triumphs over everything. There must be respect for due process and the rule of law and the rights of people, which are guaranteed under the federal constitution. I guess the other reason why the government is tempted to go back to these laws is because they probably want to instill a culture of fear to tell to the rakyat that, look, you know, we have this arsenal of laws that we can come after you, so don't play a fool and don't be troublemakers. But I guess as we move forward to a first world democracy, we have to combat national security through other ways, such as providing public information to the people as to what is going on in the ground. So, for example, in the Temple riots, we see the Inspector General of Police, we see Prime Minister Tun Mahathir coming out with very clear public statements that, look, this is not an issue where races are fighting among each other. This is a case where a developer wants to repossess the land from squatters or the temple authorities. So this kind of feedback of information to the public should be the way forward instead of instilling this culture of fear among people.
And it's also been brought up that the Penal Code already has similar provisions to these laws, but the minister said that some are of the view that these provisions are not enough. What are the provisions, and do you think they are enough to address any sort of threats?
Well, I think for the Penal Code has existing provisions which can tackle the issue at hand, which is the temple riots. So, for example, when there's threat of physical violence involved, our Penal Code has ample provisions on rioting, on assault, on causing grievous hurt. So the police can exercise these existing provisions in the Penal Code to tackle these kind of situations. But I guess the more concerning issue with the cabinet would probably be the spread of racially provocative statements. Now, even in these instances, the penal code is quite comprehensive. So, for example, Section 298 of the penal code makes it a crime for a person to utter words with the deliberate intent to wound the religious feelings of another person. Section 504 of the penal code makes it a crime for a person to intentionally insult a person to provoke the breach of the peace. And Section 505 of the penal code also criminalizes statements which are conducive to public mischief. So the penal code does have provisions which can address the exact problem that we are facing in the last few weeks. So I disagree with the statement by the cabinet and by YB Gobind Singh Deo that the existing provisions of law are insufficient to tackle the problem at hand.
And how is the penal code different from these other laws that we've been talking about, SOSMA, POKA, POTA, and so on?
Well, so the penal code, when it comes to, for example, uttering racially provocative statements, the penal code defines offences in a more specific manner. So it doesn't open or allow the authorities to abuse those provisions in the future or in the present by allowing them to arrest every single person which remotely utters any statement which may be perceived as racially insensitive. So there's a more limited scope here which prevents abuse. I think that is the main difference compared to the Sedition Act and the Communications and Multimedia Act, which are drafted in very, very wide and ambiguous terms. The other difference for laws such as POTA, POKA, and SOSMA and the Criminal Procedure Code is that the Criminal Procedure Code also allows the police to detain a person for up to 14 days. But the main difference here is that there is judicial oversight, so that the magistrate is able to assess the evidence presented at hand, to hear from the accused person, and to arrive at an independent decision on whether there is justifiable reason to detain a person any longer. So that is the benefit that the Criminal Procedure Code provides, which does not seem to appear in POTA, POKA, and SOSMA. And of course, the Criminal Procedure Code also allows detention for only up to 14 days. And if the police has indeed sufficient evidence to charge the person for a crime, then by all means, the police should charge that person and see how it goes in court, and not to arbitrarily detain the person for up to 60 days, for up to 2 years, without any charge or trial whatsoever. That is the main difference.
So, Wijet, this is a bit hypothetical, but would any sort of situation justify the use of these controversial laws?
I don't think these controversial laws, which allow for preventive detention and allow for such arbitrary language to criminalize every single statement, should exist in a democracy. If we look at places like Australia and Canada and the UK, they have moved forward from preventive detention laws. They no longer have the Sedition Act in their statute books. There are modern security legislations which other countries have been able to use effectively to deal with national security threat. And I think that there's much to be learned from those jurisdictions. Instead of relying on colonial laws in our statute books and laws which are undemocratic in nature, I think the Bar Council and Hakam has very consistently spoken out against the use of these provisions.
Wijet, thank you so much for your thoughts. That was Lim Wijet, Secretary General of Hakam, the National Human Rights Society. You can let us know what you think about the unfreezing of these laws. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We've got Boleba saying at Pakatan Harapan, taking out and using the nails from the BN coffin. So let us know if you agree with that or if you think that there is some justification to this. Again, that number to WhatsApp, 018-789-8899, BFM at BFM Radio is the handle to tweet. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.